So we are in a teaching series in John. We are talking about Jesus. That's all John writes about. And John doesn't give any kind of mystery as to why he writes about this. He writes so that you may believe in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what he talks about. That's the whole summation of this gospel. But in the last few weeks, we've been talking about specifically this upper room discourse, this time with his disciples right before he's taken and he's crucified. So, where we left off last week, does anybody remember? The betrayal of Jesus. Specifically, Judas has come with his gang of Jewish officials and Roman soldiers, and so they have come to take Jesus from this garden. Peter, do you remember what Peter did? Cut off a guy's ear. Peter's awesome, right? It's not awesome to cut off ears, but Peter, you know, he took a stand. And so Peter cuts off this guy's ear, Jesus heals this guy's ear, and they take Jesus away. But Jesus specifically told them who he was. I am he, and that's the question we had to wrestle with, right? Those are the questions that we answer, Jesus, who are you? I am he. What does that mean for us? So this morning, we're going to continue on with what we did last week. Jesus is taken, and now Jesus is going to be thrown into kind of a pre-trial trial. That's not an official trial, it's just the Jewish high courts have him, and they're wanting to talk to him about what's going on. So if you have your Bible, I want you to read it with me. If you need a Bible, if you've come here today and you do not have a Bible, we want to give you a Bible for free. There's some out on that table. Please do not be shy. Please take them. Please read them, because if you're not, you're starving yourself to death. Okay? And if you're too shy to take one of those or too cool and you want it on your cell phone, there are many, many free Bible apps that are just fantastic for you. So find those, use those. Don't let this be the first time you're hearing this story of John. All right? We're going to read it together. We're in John 18 still. We're in verse 12 through 24. You ready? You guys are real quiet today. Bring it. All right. So it says this. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Do you guys remember anything about Caiaphas? I'm not going to go on until someone says. What's that? He's the high priest. Did you remember what Caiaphas, he prophesied about Jesus in chapter 11? Or prior to that, but do you remember what he was talking about with the Jewish council specifically? Yes, it's better for one man to die. And Caiaphas had already, like, Caiaphas, I think I've said it two different ways now. I'm going to stick with whatever. He had prophesied earlier in that year about Jesus and dying, and so they have this Jewish council meeting in chapter 11 that we have already gone through, and Caiaphas said, you know, hey, you guys are fools, it's better for one man to die, and if he dies and all the followers die out with him, then we'll know, you know, it was just bunk, it wasn't anything, right? That's Caiaphas, this is him. So he is the father-in-law of the guy who prophesied it's better for one man to die, okay? So he, father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was brought to the high priest that year, it was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people, which we learned about in chapter 11. Simon Peter followed Jesus. Peter, remember Peter? What did he just do? Chopped a guy's ear off, great. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. So Jesus is bound, they're taking him in. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" And Peter, who just took a stand and chopped off a guy's ear, said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves, and Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me?" Ask those who have heard me, what I said to them. They know what I said. When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, Is that how you answer the high priest? And Jesus answered him, "If what I said was wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said was right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So we have this interaction. We have this Jesus being taken. We have this Jesus being taken to the Jewish council, this pre-trial trial. And as you see, Jesus stands trial later on in many different areas, in many different places, in front of many different people and leaders. But in this specific case, Jesus is taken. This is the first place he stops in his journey to the cross. This is the first place he stops. And you see these disciples following him because they're not really sure what's going on. And as you read in the accounts, and we read in some of the Synoptic Gospels and the different accounts, they fled from the garden. They scattered. The disciples scattered. Just as Jesus had talked about in the verses prior, Jesus said, "You're all going to leave me. You're all going to just desert me in this." And Peter being awesome, Peter being the guy that chops people's ears off, said, "No, not me. No way." And then we get to the scene where Jesus is taken and Jesus is in this room, and it sounds like only people that may know the high priest or have some kind of credentials to be able to go into this room are allowed in this room. And so there is a disciple that's able to get in and able to see and able to witness, so he's actually able to write about what's going on. And then you have Peter, who's standing out in the cold. And Peter gets asked a simple question. And remember, Peter's not the one in chains. Peter's not the one that's being tied up and taken into the court. Peter is a free man. I would assume he's probably a little skittish from what had happened in the garden. You know, I assume any time you wield a knife and cut off and dismember some other human being, I assume that maybe messes with your head a little bit. I would hope it would. But then to watch Jesus restore this man's ear, this servant's ear, there's no warrant for Peter's arrest. There's no reason for him to be on trial. You know, what he had done has been rectified and figured out. So then Peter gets a simple question from a servant girl who's outside warming herself. "Hey, aren't you one of Jesus' guys?" No. Not me. And it's a fun story. I never want to rag on Peter because Peter's an awesome guy of faith. He really is. Peter is a good dude. But Peter also is a dude. Peter also is a man of free will, is a man that has choices to make like you and I have to make. Peter also has ways of being able to say yes and no to things, just like you and I have ways of saying yes and no to things. And as I read this story, the only thing that kept coming to my mind is within this short amount of time, and this is just hours of Jesus' life, you know. This is just minutes. This is just half hours of all this going down. Peter being so boisterous in the meeting about how he would never deny Jesus. And you also remember, I think it was Peter that would not let Jesus wash his feet because he was too proud. You have loudmouth Peter, who then takes a stand. He's the only one of the disciples that we read in this account that actually takes a stand and draws a sword to protect Jesus. And so you go from this beautiful side of Peter, this loudmouth, boisterous, proud Peter, And you flip all of a sudden, and a half an hour to an hour later, then all of a sudden he's denying Jesus. And the question that comes to my mind when I read this story is, when does God become an option and not a priority? When does God become an option and not a priority? When does God essentially run out in our lives and we take over? And I'd love to tell you I don't have any recent stories to tell you about how that's happened in my life, but literally, I think it was Friday, I had to take a trip down to Fort Collins. I'm a musician, and I have bought and sold and traded guitars and amplifiers, and I have amassed this beautiful pile of instruments that I call my children. And a part of this amassing these instruments, there was this one particular amplifier played by this one particular rock star that I just needed to have, and I was able to buy it from him directly. And I sold many, many pieces of gear and put a lot of money into this one particular piece of gear that I needed from this particular rock star. I'm pretty cool, right? So I dump all of this gear into this one piece of gear. And this one piece of gear has sat very unplayed. You know, I don't really do anything with it. And the older I'm getting, the more minimalistic I'm getting, and I'm realizing that stuff is just sitting there, and I really don't need much of this stuff. You know, you can only really play one guitar at a time, right? You can only really play like 12 amps at a time, right? So I make a decision to sell this, and I put it on some online sites. And a gentleman in Fort Collins hits me up, and he lowballs me hard. I'll give you this for it. And I was just like, yeah, right. I bet you would. I'd give that for it. And so I'm just mulling around this offer all day, and I pitched him back a counter offer, and he's not getting back to me. And I was like, you know what? What does it really matter at this point? My loss is your gain. It's fine. We'll do the deal. So I'm not happy about it. I'm, you know, chatting back and forth with my wife. I told her to pray for this amount that we would get for this amplifier. We, meaning I. She's in children. She can't defend herself. So I do the deal, and I'm driving down, and all of a sudden, these dealings that happened 6-7 years ago to get this amplifier, these dealings that happened throughout, you know, my entire history of playing and amassing wealth through instruments and things, all came crashing down in the car ride, because what God did was expose a heart within me. And the only reason I really wanted this particular amplifier from this particular rock star was so I could look cooler than I already do. Because I knew that if I would get this particular amp, I have a buddy that, you know, we try to, you've heard the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses, right? His last name is literally Jones. I have a buddy that we kind of go back and forth with in terms of gear, and well, look what I got. And it's always something bigger and better and like way more expensive. And so I get this piece of gear, and literally this heart in me is exposed 6 years later in a car ride down to Fort Collins. And God said, this is the heart that you had in this piece of gear that you thought you had to have. And it wasn't God punishing me selling it for way lower than what I ever should have gotten for it. It wasn't that at all. It was this moment where this question had to be answered. When did I become an option instead of a priority in your life? You allowed yourself in this arena to run unchecked, to run with a prideful heart, to run with a heart that's not mine. And this is Friday. I mean, and I'm teaching this on Sunday, and I find that God has great timing with all of these things. And so then I'm thinking, this sucks. This is painful. This is uncomfortable. And I couldn't really go anywhere because God was just sitting right there next to me. And then he starts talking about other things in my life. Oh, well, so this pride that you have, this place where you're running unchecked and I'm not a priority in, and you've just opted out. And there's others, and here's a whole list of things, Adam, that you need to work on, that you need to recognize, that you need to repent for, that you need to come to Jesus on. And I see this story being the same thing. Literally, Peter, God, you are not an option to me. I will never deny you. I will not let you wash my feet because you are my God and my King. I will not do these things. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to chop this dude's ear off and get him to back off. 30 minutes later, no, I don't know that guy. And how true is that story for you and I? How true is that story in whatever arena that you're dealing with where God has just become option to you and not priority? And I don't know your stories. I know some of your stories. I know some of you, God has become an option in your financial situation. I know some of you, God has become an option in your substance abuse situation. I know some of you, God has become an option in your parenting situation. I know some of you, God has become an option in how and where you spend your time. I know some of you, God has become an option on how you use Google and what you use Google for. And we got to call these things out in one another. We have to see these things. We have to recognize these things. And for me, it's interesting because some of the stuff was buried so deep that I couldn't see it at the time. If you would have asked me then why I was doing what I was doing, I would just say, that's what I do. That's how I operate. That's how I do business. I don't know as I could have identified that I wanted that amplifier just to make people drool. I don't know as I could have identified that, you know, this one guy, he's going to want what I have. And you know what's interesting is he actually went out and bought the identical amp. This particular rock star had two of these rigs. And we both ended up with one of them. So it's interesting to me that we are able to just turn God off. We talked about this with the Holy Spirit when we spoke about Him. You're able to turn this off. You're able to just to have God be an option. And He'll let you run unchecked. Until you drive to Fort Collins. So where in your life is God an option? I want to just spend time in prayer in this. Some substantial time in prayer. Because for me, the only way I was able to uncover this stuff within my spirit is by my anger about a deal gone bad that wasn't going to benefit me like I had hoped. That's the only way it was uncovered. And I'm praying right now, this morning, that it's not going to take that for you. I'm praying your willingness this morning is that will hear from God and accept what He has to say. And not only accept it, but then respond in love. That follows with obedience of whatever it is. He's saying, look, I'm not an option here. So I want you to spend some time together corporately just praying about where that is within our hearts, within our souls. And then I'm going to close with some prayer. God, 5 minutes of silence can be an awkward thing, especially when we're asking you intimate questions. God, maybe some of us already knew the answers to that question when they walked in the door this morning. But Father, when Jesus taught us to pray and He said, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, it doesn't sound like there's much option there. God, it sounds like Your plan for humanity, Your love for humanity, Your grace for humanity, Your desire for relationship with humanity, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. There is no option in that. So, Father, we ask for forgiveness where we've made that option, where we've made that judgment call, where we've said, God, we won't allow You to be in this portion, this area, this kingdom that we're building. And God, whatever it may be, God, whether we have option to not love our neighbors in our neighborhoods, God, whether it be our option to not love our family members, our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, our wives, our sons, our daughters, our grandmothers, grandfathers. God, forgive us when we option and how we spend our finances, instead of bringing the kingdom with them, God, we squander them away on amplifiers. We squander it away on things that have selfish motive, things that don't bring the kingdom. God, forgive us for optioning with our substance abuse and how we handle those things and how we leave You out of those things. God, forgive us when we option, when we know what Scripture says and we know what You've taught and we hear and we understand and we do something else. God, forgive us when we option for anger. God, forgive us when we option for lust. Forgive us when we option for hate, selfishness. God, forgive us when we've even denied You in front of people, just like Peter. God, how he optioned to say, I don't know that man. God, forgive us when we've stayed silent when asked about You. Forgive us when we've optioned to just not speak Your truth when asked, or to speak a truth other than what You've already given. Forgive us. And God, the beauty of all of this is You do forgive. You do meet us with grace. You do meet us with mercy. If we just ask You. Just like Peter, You called it. You knew that it was going to happen. You knew that his denial was going to hit. And yet, You loved him anyway. And as we'll read, is when You come back and You have that beautiful breakfast on the beach with him, God, You meet him with grace and mercy and love, even though he optioned otherwise. And so, God, with that knowledge, with that full assurance of who You are and how You do desire relationship with us, Your creation, and how You do love us, God, may we move forward in that. May that give us the grounds to stand firm and say there is no option, but only priority. So God, take these words. God, take these stories that are written by John. Take these accounts of Jesus optioning in the midst of a trial, in the midst of imminent death, to continue to stand firm in what you asked of him. To continue to stand firm even in the midst of these men and women who don't understand him. God, may we have those priorities that Jesus had. So I pray all these things in Jesus' name, and whatever we hear from you, God, may we greet it with love and obedience. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said,